First of Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Our theme today is Ebenezer. Thus far the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer in Spanish, we might be more familiar with it for us who are homegrown Hispanic Pentecostals. And that's how the verse says, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Ebenezer, Ebenezer, meaning thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has helped us. The Good News Version says, the Lord has helped us all the way. It's all been the Lord. Till today, to where you are right now, to the victories in your life and to the ability to overcome the things that you have overcome, there must be a declaration within us that says, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. As we reflect on our lives and we reflect on our homes and our families and our children and our journey and where we have been and where we are, there must be a shout within us that says, thus far the Lord has helped us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for this part. We pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us. We pray, Lord God, that we will feel motivated. We pray, Lord God, that we will feel challenged in this morning as we reflect these next few minutes and share with regard to this scripture, but also reflect on 2018 and point towards 2019. We pray that your anointing would be in this place, that you would speak into our hearts, oh God, and you would stir something up new that has never been stirred up before. We pray in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 12 is a great story. It's a story of the time of the judges. It was a time towards the end of the judges where Samuel was leading the Israelites in this city, in this region at this time as a judge. And it was a time, if you read these 12 verses, you'll see it was a time of repentance. The Israelites were repenting. The nation repents of their sins. They destroy idols and they begin to seek the Lord. And you'll see that in verses 2 to 4. And Samuel gathers them at Mizpah where they confess their sins. And Samuel offers a sacrifice on their behalf. It's a beautiful time of spiritual renewal among the Israelites. And it was during this time of repentance and renewal that the Philistines attacked them. The Philistines had heard that they had gathered in this region, that the Israelites were there, and they had come together to attack and destroy the Israelites. They had already taken some cities captive, and now they were going out to finish off the Israelites in this region here. And here, Samuel hears this. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to engage them in battle. So Samuel hears that the Philistines are coming to engage them in battle. And he begins to pray, and the Israelites go into battle against the Philistines. But the Lord helped them in a supernatural way. And I love in the Old Testament, we see on a number of occasions where God intervenes in a supernatural way. And this intervention, we see in verse 10 that the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were rooted before the Israelites. So loud thunder came from heaven. It was so loud that it threw the Philistines off, and the Israelites were able to engage them in battle. And the Bible says that they destroyed them and took back captive some of their cities. And also, scripture teaches us here that the Philistines for many, many years did not come against the Israelites again. And what I love here is the battle was won by the Israelites. Cities were taken back over. And there was a time of peace against the Philistines. And to remember this divine victory, Samuel, the judge, the leader of this time, the prophet, he takes a stone and he sets it up between two cities, two towns, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So our creative arts ministry got a stone for me. We were able to put it there. And it was a symbol to them. that every time they passed this region, every time they passed this area, that stone reminded them, Ebenezer, it was called Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord had helped them. And it was a reminder to them that God was with them and that God had helped them. It was a reminder to them. It marked the spot where the thunder was heard and the victory was given to them. Although the Philistine army was much bigger, much greater, the Israelites had the victory because God intervened supernaturally for them and he gave them the victory. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. We can contextualize that by saying how many of us have been in a place in our lives where the battle was greater than us, the circumstance was greater than ours, the situation was more than we thought we ever could bear. There was a sense of despair, a sense of loneliness, a sense of isolation, being marginalized. There was a sense of need in our lives. And at the very moment, God, in a supernatural way, showed us that he was with us and he gave us the victory. And there is a declaration on our behalf that says, thus far, the Lord has helped us. I love the way the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it has to talk about the victory of the believer, the Christian, at end times and our resurrection. It's a beautiful chapter with regard to our resurrecting one day. But he says where our victory comes from. And in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 15, 7, he says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are reminded today that come hell or high water, regardless of where we are in life, the victory belongs to us because of Jesus Christ. And we could always say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. And the church says, so I remind you that, and I start our reflection this morning with that thought that says, well, God has helped us. And as we look at 2018, we can say that God has really helped us and blessed our church in so many ways. And we can look back and we can say, truly, God has been with us. Our church has enjoyed so many wonderful things in 2018. We had so many wonderful events, so many nice family events. We have family banquets for Mother's Day and Father's Day, and we thank those that work together to make sure that those things are victorious and successful. And we can see that it's God that gives us those victories as well. We had a beautiful family camp where we had over 320 people of our church gather at family camp and gathered, and God ministered to us in a mighty way, and he spoke to our hearts in a special way. And in those events, we can say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. We had a time of fellowship. We've done things like skating for families. And in those times of family events, we always see God blessing our church. And if God is blessing our church, we must take a pause and say, thus far the Lord has helped us. You know, we have wonderful children's ministry in our church. We had a wonderful VBS. We have events like apple picking and Christmas party and so many other events and Sunday school and children's church and nursery and Roy Rangers and girls ministry. And we're so thankful for all our teachers that dedicate time to our children. And as we look back, we can say, thus far, the Lord has helped us. You know, our church this year celebrated 65 years of ministry. What a beautiful success for our church. And most of you know I've been in this church since I was 3 years old. My brother was 7 years old. We've been in this church since we were kids. So we love the history of our church. And we love where the church has come from. And our church in 65 years has only had 4 pastors. What a wonderful history to speak about, right? And one of those pastors only lasted 2 years, indicating that 3 of the pastors were here for decades, right? So it shows the time. It shows that there's a beautiful history in our church. And I love that we celebrated the 65 years of history, and we brought back one of our pastors who had been here for 18 years, Pastor Del Valle and his wife, Sister Mirita, and they celebrated with us. And we reflected on our years of ministry, how God has blessed our church. And many of you may not know, but our church started off on 146th Street and Rockaway Boulevard, where we rented a storefront, and we were there for a few years. And then we transitioned from there to 131st Street and Rockaway Boulevard between Rockaway and Sutter, and we were there for 30-something years. And over the last 20 years, God has brought us to this place. And throughout our church history, we can only say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. We see that God is doing those things, and we can take no glory and we can point to no man. It only has been God that has done it. And when we look at what we have, it's a symbol of a rock that says God is doing a mighty work in among his people. We have seen over this year many beautiful Sunday services where we felt God's presence in a mighty way. It was special. Our worship team blesses us. Our preachers, they bless us. We're encouraged every Sunday. We're thankful for every visitor. Do you know that Jasmine informed me this week that on Sunday, throughout the year, we had 201 visitors that filled out visitors' cards, not including those today. And many who have come who have not filled out visitors' cards, and that doesn't include Tuesdays or Fridays, indicating that people have come and have shared with us, and we've had visitors, and we're thankful because God has done that. And we can say, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. We have enjoyed beautiful prayer services, and I'm so thankful that recently I'm seeing more people come to the prayer service. And I want to say that if you have not been faithfully attending the prayer service, and you can, I want to encourage you that 2019 would be a year that you say, you know what, I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to get to the prayer service because, one, I need to stand in the gap for myself and my family, but I also need to stand in the gap for the church. And you go and you pray for us, and the Lord will hear your prayer, and it will bless our people. So thankful for what God is doing. Our missions ministry had another beautiful year where we were able to support monthly about 10 missionaries, and we were able to do 2 missions trips, and we gave thousands of dollars away to the mission work. And we can say that and say, we can see that and say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. So thankful for all our leadership and all those that work in different places and serve at different levels. But I'm so thankful for Pastor Robert and Rosa, who are steadfast with our youth, blessing our children, blessing our youth and available to them to serve. And Ricardo and Eden, who have partnered with them. And as I look at our youth, I'm seeing something that I haven't seen in a really long time. God is doing something. He's encouraging them. And he's lifting them up. And all that we can say in the midst of that time is, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. There was a need in our church for young adults, and there was a sense that they didn't belong, and they wanted to belong more and be a part of it. And God put in the heart of Pastor Minor and Yesenia to really engage the young adults, and today they're doing so well. Thankful for what God is doing in them and through them, and they're taking leadership positions in our church. And all that we can say in the midst of this is, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. You know, thankful for new ministries that have been launched, ministries like the Greeters Ministry, first under the leadership of Ruth and Hernandez, and then she's handed the baton to Betsy Lee, and it's growing so nicely. Thank you for those who gather here early to pray with us and encourage us and pray for our church. And we see God doing some wonderful things there. We're thankful for these things, and we know that it's God that's doing the work. Friday nights, we saw a need to revamp our Friday nights, and we gathered together and we launched our small groups, and today we have about 10 small groups that meet in different homes throughout the week, and some are meeting here on Friday as well, and we see God blessing our small groups. We have more people attending our small groups now than we did attending here on Friday nights, and leaders are coming out of those small groups, and people are pastoring other people and encouraging other people. I went to a funeral the other day, and William was there with me because it was in his small group where somebody's family member had passed away. And that's the goal of ministering in small groups, to encourage each other, walk hand in hand. And as we see that, all that we can say is, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And I just want to thank men's ministry and women's ministry, Ruth and Jorge, Ruth Diaz and Jorge, who's done such a marvelous job this year. And they've done it the year before, and they've been elected next year. And I love this because it shows that God is not just putting them there, or church is not just putting them there. God has placed them there over years to serve and lead our different ministries. And we're thankful. And this year we had a men's conference for the first time that really blessed me. And I know it blessed all our men that were here. So I just want to encourage you to pray for our ministries, because God is using them in a mighty way to touch people's lives. And when we see God's hand move, all that we can say is Ebenezer. All we can say. Thankful for the pantry ministry. Many of you may not know because you're not here Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays between 7 and 3. But our pantry ministry serves weekly hundreds of families. And some of them are not even attendees here at Elohim. They live in the community, and they come and they serve and they bless our pantry under the leadership of Pastor Tony. And they do such a wonderful job. And they've been doing this for over a decade. And they've been serving this community where thousands and thousands of family every year receive groceries and food, and they receive it all in the love of Christ, all on behalf of this team that serves so joyfully. And when we look at that, all that we can say is, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Right? The church is so blessed with beautiful ministries like our worship ministry, our van drivers, our faithful ushers, our dance ministry, our faithful church workers, those who are faithful in prison ministry. Our church is filled with so many beautiful ministries serving all the time. And as we look and see what God is doing in our church, we must point to God and say, truly, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And 2018, though it's been a wonderful year, for some it's also been a hard year. It's been a year of loss for some. It's been a year of heartbreak for others. It's been a year of sickness for others. It's been a year of lack of employment for others. It's been a year of need for others. And in those places of need, I've heard many of you say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Because God meets us in our success, and he also meets us in our need. I want to tell you here today, perhaps you are battling something in your life. I want to let you know that God is omnipresent. He's with us in our high times, and he's with us in our low time. It doesn't only mean that he's in every place, but it also means that he's in every emotion and every circumstance. And he is there with you in your time of need. He's there with you in your emotion, and he's there with you in your loss. And he is there for you so that you can declare, thus far, the Lord has helped me. I want to encourage you here today to remember that God has done great things with us, and he's doing great things with us. And my sermon for New Year's Eve is From Good to Great. God is doing good things for us, but he's calling us to achieve greatness as well. Some people are content with good, but how many know that good is the enemy of great? We're good with where we are, but God wants to take us to greatness. And the church says, so as we kind of reflect on 2018, I want to encourage you to embrace 2019. 2019 is upon us, and it's coming upon us with a spirit of expectancy and a spirit of excitement. Yes, there's always the unknown. Marlene said it here today. It comes with us with the unknown. We never know what tomorrow's going to bring, but our walk of faith tells us, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. We must go into this new year believing that if God helped us before, he'll help us again. To believe that God is calling us to trust him with all that we are and all that we have, and we will see God's hand move, and we will be able to make a declaration, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Our theme for 2019 is I am committed, or committed, comprometido in Spanish. We've had this 6-year vision that we've shared with you in the past. Our first year was in pursuit of God. Our second year was faithfully. Our third year was transformation. Our fourth year was healthy living. Our fifth year is committed. And next year will be I am ready. And the Lord has led us through that because we believe that if we seek God faithfully, he will transform us so that we can have healthy living, so that we can commit to him and be ready for all that he has called us to do. How many say amen? So God is calling us to commit. It's a reflection for us here today. Where is it that I may be lacking? What is it that God is calling me to do? I hope that we will evaluate our lives and see where is it that we lack some commitment. What is it that God is saying? It's time to alter these things, change these things. It's time to commit this way. The psalmist said it this way. In his desire to completely please God, the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." What a declaration on behalf of the psalmist to say, "Here I am, God. Search me. See if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you." The psalmist said in Psalm 119:59, "I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your law." I look at myself, O God, and I turn my steps to your law, to your decrees, to your ways, O God. I will evaluate my life, and whatever is not pointing towards you, I will make it straight and I will point it towards you. What a declaration from the heart. Maybe there's some of us here today that are saying there's some things in my life that I need to redirect. Consider my ways and point them to the Lord. Solomon said this in Lamentations 3:40. He said, "Let us test and examine our ways and let us return to the Lord." What a beautiful word on behalf of the King for us. I want to encourage you today to evaluate our lives and encourage us. Well, what are the questions? What are the things that we must ask ourselves? What must we wrestle with? I would ask, where do I lack commitment? Where are the things in my life that I need to get straight? I would encourage you to ask yourself, how am I doing with my spiritual disciplines? I think spiritual disciplines is the key to the Christian life, and it's also one of our greatest battles. It's not always easy to pray. It's not always easy to read the scriptures. It's not always easy to meditate. It's not always easy to do those things. It's not always easy to recognize that we need repentance and we need change in our lives. There's things that we need to release ourselves from and other things that we need to put to death in our lives, right? We need to recognize that there must be change, and we must ask ourselves, where do I lack? This year, we will focus on three things: our commitment to God, our commitment to our family, and our commitment to our church. That'll be our focus for our church, and we'll try our best to teach and preach and encourage the church that way. But we must ask ourselves, well, how committed am I to God? I know that He's committed to me, but do I seek Him? Do I pray? Do I look for Him? Am I committed to going to church? Am I committed to the things that He's dealing and speaking into my heart? Sometimes we hear God's word and we just let it in one ear and out the other ear because it's hard to apply sometimes. But God is looking for us to commit so that we could always say, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." I think some of the things that have tarnished, especially minorities at times, is our commitment even to our own families. How committed are we to our spouses? How committed are we to the ones that God has put in our lives that we love? How committed are we? Are we willing to do anything for them and make things right? How committed are we as parents to our children and to our grandchildren? Are we making a positive effect? Or are we leaving something for the next generation that will bring increase and growth? How committed am I to our secondary family, to our cousins, our uncles, our aunts, our nephews, our nieces, our in-laws? How committed are we that the Lord would speak to our lives this morning? How committed are we to our church? How faithful am I to church, to the worship of the church, to coming together? Do I attend faithfully? Or am I just a worshiper? I just like that because it sounds good. They worship well. It's good music. It's good preaching. But am I willing to be an impact member? Am I willing to impact my church? Am I willing to impact my community with the giftings that God has placed in my life? How committed am I? Am I a committed tither? Am I a committed giver? Or do I just go and I'll give an offering when I can and when it is? Or am I faithful to tithing? Am I faithful to giving? My children enjoy children's ministry and my children enjoy the fellowship in the fellowship hall. And I enjoy the aspect, but I don't really give. Am I a committed tither? That the Lord would speak to our hearts this morning. Am I committed? My gifts that God has given me, am I committing them to the church? The gifts that God has given me. So this year, as we point to next year, our theme is committed. That the Lord would speak to our heart. Being committed to what is righteous is not always easy. For the Israelites to come up against the Philistines, it was not easy. They were a much bigger army. But because the Israelites responded in obedience, their victory was for them, but it wasn't by their hand. It was by the hand of God. I want to encourage you today. Sometimes our battles are bigger than us. Our struggles are bigger than us. But when we commit to all that is righteous and all that is right, the battles are won, and they're not won by our hand, but they're won by the supernatural hand of God. And that's when we can say, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. And the church says, amen. As I get ready to close our time today, there's six things as pastor that I love for you to commit to this year. Six things as pastor that I would love to see each one of our members commit to this year. The first one is, I'd love to see every one of our church members commit to personal spiritual disciplines. I think that we need to mark this down and say, okay, God, I need to put a reminder on my phone. I need to set out time, carve out time for spiritual disciplines like prayer. I know that we live in a time and where, you know, people, we pray on the bus and we pray driving and we pray doing the dishes and we pray cooking. And those things are good. And we do those things as well. But there must be a carving out of intentional time with God, where God will speak into our hearts and His Holy Spirit will minister to us, where we can feel the presence of God renew and re-strengthen us. And those things happen as we carve time out for God. I think each and every one of us need to do that. I would encourage you all to join our time of fasting, Bible reading. How awesome would it be? I was talking to a church member this week who told me he was able to finish the Bible in 1 year. He did it through an app. And how awesome that we could read our Bible and dedicate time, but not just read it to read it through. But I always encourage people, even read sometimes short and just ask yourself questions. What is God speaking to me? How can I apply this to my life? Mark down your Bible. Let God speak to you. I want to encourage you to meditate on Sunday sermons, with regardless to who's preaching. Monday morning, take out your notes and read them over and say, God, what are you talking to me? What are you saying to me? God knew that you would be here on Sunday, and He put a word in the heart of the preacher, and that word was not just for everybody else around you, but it was for you as well. We take it seriously, and we meditate on God's word because Scripture tells us to do that. And Monday, ask ourselves, God, you knew that I would be there, and you put this word in their hearts. What is it that you want to tell me? And God will speak to you every single time. I had a professor who once said to me, if you want God to speak to you, they said to our class, if you want God to speak to you, take the day off, sit under a tree, and meditate on His word, and He will speak to you every time. If we take time out, we will do that. As pastor, your spiritual disciplines are important, so I want to encourage you. Prayer and fasting and Bible reading and meditation. And you will align your will with God's will. Everybody wants to know, what's God's will for my life? And they want to see like certain things. It's every day you live in God's will for your life, where you show righteousness and justice and kindness and love and mercy and joy. And the fruit of the Spirit just flows through you, and people will look at you and they will say, surely he is a believer. Surely he is a Christian. Surely she is a believer. Why? Because you look just like Jesus. And at that moment, you are living out the very purpose of your life. But that happens through spiritual disciplines. If we never communicate with God, if we only wait till Sunday, then it's only about us. But God wants to do something in us and through us. That happens only through spiritual disciplines. I'm going to set aside a series of sermons on spiritual disciplines this year to really nail down the urgency that each and every one of us have with regard to spiritual disciplines. So the first thing is, I want to encourage every church member to really say, I'm committed to spiritual disciplines. The second thing is, I want to encourage every church member, every church attendee, to become a part of a small group in our church. Whether it's the Sunday school classroom, do you know that in the morning we have about 6 Spanish Sunday school classrooms, in the afternoon we have an English Sunday school classroom, or maybe it's Bible Institute. Bible Institute is a great resource that we have. If you've been in our church for some time, you're familiar with it. It's a 4-year course, school, training. It's awesome. Every one of our ministers have gone through it. It's not just sponsored by our church. It's sponsored by our movement. The Assemblies of God, we have the blessing, the luxury to have it here. It's a discipleship program for us, where you can study over 4 years in English or in Spanish, the scriptures. It's a ministerial transformation or leads us into ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you're not part of it, if you've never done it, if you can carve out some time Wednesday nights, then be a part of Bible Institute. We have our small groups that meet here on Friday, and some are meeting in the homes. You're going to be hearing more about that over the next few weeks as well, how you can connect. Be a part of that. Our prison ministry, every 2 weeks, we go into Rikers and we preach and teach, encourage and sing. Be a part of that. So I want to encourage every one of our church members, church attendees, if you're only coming to Sunday service, you're missing out. This year is the year of commitment. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you to be a part of one, at least one small group. Why? Not for the increase of our church. I know that if you can really lock into one of our small groups through the discipleship process, I promise you that at the end of the year, you will be at a different place than you are right now. And next year, you will be ready for what God wants to do in your life. All right, so I want to encourage you, at least one small group. If you can say, you know what, I want to do two small groups. Amen. Be a part of that. And I don't only want you just to be a student of the small group. I eventually want you to lead it. Under the influence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that God would use you to bring growth to other people's lives. And if that's the growth of another church, that's okay. Our encouragement is people's lives. Our desire is people's lives. And the church says, so as pastor, I want to see each and every one of our church members, spiritual disciplines, small groups, number three, investing more into their families this year. I think we need to be more intentional investing into our families. I'm going to be challenging every one of our husbands, every one of the men of our church. I'm going to be asking them throughout the year, have you taken your wife out? When was the last time you had a movie night out, a date night out? When was the last time it was just you and her? I'm going to challenge our men to say, no, I'm going to commit, recognizing that this is important. I'm going to take time out to be with my children. Weekends away with our spouses, vacations away with our children, and we don't need a lot of money for vacation. Sometimes we can just go upstate, pitch a tent, and light a fire. If you have been camping with my wife's family, they do sancochos at camps, right? So you can have this. And you know what? We were praying this morning in my office, and I was like, 2018 is gone already. It's going to be in a blink of an eye. We're going to look and our children are going to be 21. And our children are going to be 18. I look at my older girls and I'm like, how did this happen? We need to make sure that we don't let time pass us by. And we lost that time. But I want to tell you, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Now is the time. I want to encourage every one of our church members to go to our family camp this year, May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd. Next week, you see the registration table there. We already have about 60 rooms taken. I want to encourage you to be a part of family camp. It's going to be a blessing. We start now so that you can pay a little bit at a time. This year, I want to do a parenting workshop. Just to encourage our parents and a couples workshop to continue to encourage our couples. So this year, what we ask, we're looking for our churches to commit more to families. Number four, we're going to be asking every church member to commit to sharing the gospel at least once a month with an unbeliever. You know, it's the Great Commission. Jesus himself gave it to us. It was his last words to the disciples. And he tells, I'll always be with you. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the Great Commission. When was the last time we were bold? We were bold with our faith. Bold with our faith. Today and age, you don't even have to tell somebody, but if you know somebody, you can send them a text. Hey, you want to come to church? When was the last time we were bold with our faith and say, you need Jesus? Jesus can help you. But this is important to me, and this is important to you. If we don't have it right, what message do we send? If our homes and our families are a mess, and we tell somebody whose home and family is a mess, hey, what you need is Jesus, he's going to look at you and say, crazy, look at you. What has Jesus done for you? But if we can commit to the things that we need to commit to, spiritual disciplines, small groups, right? Commit to our families. He's going to be fixing those things in our lives, sharpening them. They will never be perfect. Mine is not. Yours won't be either. But they'll be aligned better with God's will. And you'll be able to look at somebody and say, hey, I'm not perfect, but God has helped me. And he can help you as well. How many say amen? The fifth thing I'm going to ask every one of our church members to commit to is to a prayer service. Now, I know that some of you can't commit every Tuesday because you have Bible Institute. We have small children. I understand those things. We're in the same boat. But to never come to a prayer service is a problem. And I have good news for you. Our church also has a prayer line at 6:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, where we have a group of people who gather every morning at 6:30 to pray. Now, you might say, you know, 6:30, that just doesn't work for me. Well, don't let your heart be troubled. This year, we're opening up an evening prayer lines where you can gather on the prayer line at nighttime as well, and you can pray with others from our church for a time of prayer and coming together. I'm going to ask you to commit to prayer in our church, knowing that this is important. And the church says. And the last thing this morning, I'm going to ask you to commit to the prayer of the expansion of our church building. 10 years ago, we were in the exact same place we are right now. 10 years ago, our church was in need of expansion. We were growing, and we had a fellowship hall. Some of you who were here over 10 years ago will remember that, back where our bathrooms are now. That used to be a fellowship hall. And that's what we did our Mother's Day banquets, our Father's Day banquets, all our events, kids ministry. Our church had been growing, and the Lord has stirred in my heart. It was time to expand. I came to the church board, and the church board gave me the thumbs up, came to the church, and the church gave us the thumbs up, and we entered into an expansion project that radically changed our church ministry, where we now have this beautiful fellowship hall, parking lot on this side, bathrooms in the back. We had to work a little bit with the kitchen, and it was good, and it cost us $1 million 10 years ago, and we went into this project, and it was time for growth. It was time to expand, and the church said amen, and here, you know, many of you don't even know the building the way it used to be, but it used to exist without the fellowship hall there, and today we enjoy it. And the Lord has been speaking into our hearts again. It's time to expand again. Our church has been growing. Our small group ministries have been growing. And we want to build a building right here on this side where my office is. That office will come down. And it's going to be 3 floors. It's going to be a basement, mid-floor, and a second floor. And the basement is going to have a beautiful kids zone, kids place for children's church, right? The first floor is going to have a beautiful foyer. It's going to have a beautiful foyer, and it's going to have some offices there, and it's going to have a nice hallway so we don't have to enter through that door no more. We'll be able to enter to the back. And then it's going to have a second floor that extends even a little further out, and it's going to offer us 6 classrooms and 1 youth sanctuary. And the youth sanctuary fits up to 60 young people. Really nice. And the Lord has spoken into our hearts, and it's been over a couple of years now that we have just been mentioning it and praying about it. And I wasn't planning to share this, but I even ran into some old prints from 1976 that some architect did when this used to be Christian Science. And I shared it with the church officials, and I had probably not seen that in over a decade. And during this time, the Lord is stirring this up in my heart. I'm looking through some things, and I find these old prints that is almost what we want to do here. And I was like, Lord, are you telling me it's time? I went to the church board, and the church board said it is time. And on the 20th of this month, on the 20th of January, we have our yearly business meeting, and there I'm going to just expose all the details of what it would cost and how we would pay it, and we're going to share it, and we'll vote as a church to move forward together in this. But I want you to commit to praying about this and asking the Lord to just speak into your heart at what level you could pray and commit to. And we're believing that if Jesus is to tarry, we want to pass this ministry on to the next generation ready so that they could impact the community even in a greater way. In a greater way. So I also want to let you know that we have the prints of those of the building, how it look on the inside and how it look on the outside, right in the foyer. And when you leave here today, our brother Elias is going to be there. He's been walking hand in hand with me in this. And you could ask him some questions there. And you could take a look at how it's going to look. And it's going to be there all month. And you could even call me during the month and say, hey, I just have a question with regards to the building project. And I'll answer the questions the best that I can. And then on the 20th, we'll be here doing that as well. But I want to encourage you to pray for that. Do we have the picture up there? Can you project it? If not, it'll be in the foyer. If not, it'll be in the foyer. And I just want to encourage you to help me pray about that. So six things as pastor as we bring closure. Six things. The first one is personal disciplines. Lock into your personal disciplines. I'm going to lock into mine. The second one, small groups. At least one small group. Third one is investing into your family. The fourth one is sharing the gospel with an unbeliever. The fifth one is prayer services. The sixth one is prayer for the expansion of our church building. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand. If you believe that the Lord is speaking to you this morning with regard to a new level, something new, something more, a new level of commitment, right where you are, I just want to encourage you to raise your hand. Amen, amen. And don't do it just because others are doing, but you really believe that God is stirring something in your heart and saying, no, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for something. So the declaration is Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord, through every battle, the Lord has helped us. And through every battle, the Lord will help us. So I want to encourage you as we get ready to worship the Lord and close our time here today. Let's begin to pray with a declaration. Let it be your will, O God. Speak into our hearts. Move us, Lord God, to what you want to do within us and through us. Father, we pray today, O God, as we raise our hands in a declaration of Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us with a declaration that says, Lord, you're calling us for a time like this. You're calling us for a new level. You're calling us to commit in a way like we've never committed before, Lord God. You're calling us for spiritual disciplines and to engage in small groups and to invest in our families and to share the gospel and to be committed to prayer, Lord God, and committed to prayer for our church and church expansion. Father, we pray today, Father, that it would not just be another Sunday. It would not just be a motivational speech, God, but it would be something that really impacts and encourages us to say 2019 will be a year like never before in the history of my life. It'll be a year where we have aligned our will with God's will. It'll be a year where the world sees something special, something different in each and every one of us. It'll be a year of impact, a year of growth, a year where we go from good to great. Father, we pray, oh Lord God, today, and that at the end of it all, when you have done it, all we'll be able to say is Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us, because it will be supernatural. It will be something that you do from heaven, oh God. It won't be something that the working of our hands have done, but it'll be something that the move of your Spirit has done, oh God, and we will say Ebenezer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time. And we pray, Lord, your blessing always in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let us worship the Lord with a hand clap today as we sing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.